overview of the winemaking process. It's a simple process, it's an elegant process, but there's a lot of detail to it. So we'll just have a quick overview. The grapes are picked off the vineyard in a specific time, Chag HaUsuf time. It's crushed along with pits and along with skins. And that's why in Halacha, red always has precedence over white wine. Red wine over white wine, because contrary to most people's belief, the juice of a grape is white. It's the skins and the tannins within the pits that create flavor and color. The color that you see in wine comes strictly from the skin. So when you make a brucha, something that's produced out of a full fruit versus something that's produced out of a half a fruit that has more chashivas. When ultimately that's pressed, and although yeast naturally found in any fruit, if you ever look at a plum, a dark skinned fruit, I'm picking plum, but any dark skinned fruit, you'll notice a white residue. That white residue is natural yeast. Grapes have them too. That natural yeast is crushed along with the wines, and that's a natural bacteria that I've created along with all fruit products. By the process of the yeast eating sugars, two things happen. It produces alcohol, takes away the sugars, and produces CO2, which is a gas. Now, the objective we're trying to create is the ethanol alcohol, and I'll get to that a little further on, the difference between different alcohols. But this gets pressed together, and us winemakers, we introduce yeast. There are over 500 strands or families of yeast. Each grape gets a different introduction. Some yeast are more aggressive, some yeast take a long time to ferment, but it's more or less the same process where yeast is introduced as a winemaker would introduce it based on how sweet the grape is, and that's a whole different technical level, but that's the process of making wine. After the fermentation process, there's a pressing where you just press out all the juice that's left over from the grape, from the skins, and then there's barreling, in a nutshell. Why wooden barrels? That's an interesting process. We put wines today in wooden barrels. So the Gemara says in Vayezur Daf Lamed Bais, the Gemara quotes, "My Hadriyuni, Om Ravido Vashmil, Cheres Shalaviyuni Kaiser." So Rashi says, "Kishiyotze." When the Roman legions went out to war, what they would do is they would always travel with wine. Now, the Romans traveled in wine in these, if you've ever been to Masada, you've seen them, or various other antique museums, especially in the Middle East, where you find what they're called amphorae, the clay vessels with a coned bottom. Those vessels were wine vessels that they transported them. They were kept together. That was the best form to keep it. If you can seal it properly, it can hold these. Find this in the Yanovi, the man yam the yumim rabim. Clay, if it's sealed properly, the Qumran findings where they had the Dead Sea Scrolls were found in perfect condition because they were kept in clay. So they do work, but the problem there is it's heavy. And transporting them must have taken them just a legion in and by itself to carry these wine vessels. So when they came, the Romans conquered, and they came to France, to the Gauls, which they conquered, they saw that the French people have oak forests, and they kept beer in these oaks. And lights went off. What a great idea. They started transferring wine into oak barrels. Oak is a soft wood. That has you can bend easily. Oak is not found in Italy. They have more of the pine woods, which are very hard to bend. Oak, you can bend easily, you can work with it, and they found with time that the wine sitting in these wood oak barrels not only preserved it, but also had an unbelievable effect on mellowing the flavors and enhancing the flavor. Hence, the introduction of wood barrels that we use till today. The best wooden barrels that come today are still from France. It's the best oak. There are many species of oak trees, but the sought-after wine is from France, and it has a very interesting tight grain which doesn't allow for air to come in or out. It's always used. That's the wine process. Now, on the bullets that I passed along, the next thing on the agenda is a little the most complicated of the, and that's Yain Mevishal in a Yain Esach world. So let's, there's a lot of halucha here, and I'm not a poysik, but we'll superficially talk about the topic. First, in the Rambam Seif HaMitzvahs, Simen Kif Tzadik Zayin, and Yeredaya Simen Kif Chav Ches, let's start with the Issa itself, the Issa of Yain Nesach. Who's delicious Yain Nesach? A Pusik says in Devurim, Asher Chayiv Zevachayim Yerchayli, Yishti Yam Yain Nischayim. That the Eibush doesn't like when you drink. This is something that's not cared for. This is you don't drink wine from a goy that's used for, in English you say libations. Now, historically, Greeks, Romans, the Incas, they all poured wine. L'shem avodah zarah. They poured wine for some pagan worship. Today, the closest we find to such an idea is in Cuba, where they would pour two drops of the first run of rum, and they would say para los santos for the saints. It's the closest we can ever hear or understand, but that's not with wine. Philippines have another thing; they'll also pour their tequila or their drink, and they'll say for the devil. But that's the closest we find. There's no yain nesach we find today. Even in Christianity, they use wine in their masses, but they don't use it for a pouring, for l'shem avodah zarah. They use it for some other nonsense, but not for avodah zarah. That being said, why the issa? So we find the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that the Rabbunim were very clear about. Let's not eat the bread. We won't come to eat their oils, and therefore not have their wines. Because why? Al yainam asim shem chasnas. The Rabbunim were very worried about assimilation. So tzidin, it'll come one thing will lead to the other. It'll bring to one. 3 points to ponder. Number one, what about Muslims who don't drink alcoholic beverage at all? They don't drink any wine. Is there an issa? Number two, how about other spirits? Beer, whiskey. Can we drink beer and whiskey together with goyim? Number three, if gazi alpitim vishim yainon, why the leniency with mevishal? If wine is a problem, why all of a sudden is mevishal allowed? So, the Shulchan Aruch in Yeredaya, Simen Kif Chav Tes, Sif Yudalef, and the Rebbeinu Yeruchim as well, in the Chavin, the Sif Yid Zayin, say, first let's take care of the Muslims. Muslims, as it says, Muslimim, Lainechvi, Ovdavai Dezura, Kinnatsrim, they're not considered Ovdavai Dezura like the Christians. Even if they pour it, it's mitabanua. But achusa b'shtiyah. Why? Again, mishim chasnas. It'll come to assimilation, and we have a problem with that. Interesting to note, in the Ozeriyah, he writes, the Ozeriyah brings, that a goy that purposefully, lahachas, on purpose, goes and touches wine just to get you mad, you're allowed to drink it. Because it certainly won't bring to the gezeira shegozri chachumim, I have no problem. An interesting story to that. The Mordechai quotes in Sechta Savei Dezura of Pai Vov. He brings a tshiva from Rabbi Nachshon Guin, one of the Chachma Provence, that once upon a time when the Crusades were there, one of the Crusaders came in and found a bar of wine by Eden, and on purpose put his hand in, and he messed with the wine. And there was a Zuken Eichab there. That's what the Mordechai quotes. Zuken Eichab took a cup, and in front of the goy, drank the wine to show him, don't worry, we can do this, and don't do this again to other people because we have no issa about this. But still, we have an issue with yayin issa. So let's talk about yayin mevishal for a minute. So Baruch Hashem, I was zoicha to publish a cipher called Shevach Pesach not long ago. It's really regarding Pesach because I'm not going to put it on the table, I'm just going to pass it on to the Gabbai from King Surim, whoever it is, leave it in Besmelech.
We both have a copy.
Oh, I didn't think otherwise. But nonetheless, for the Besmelech, we tackled the topic of Yayin Mevishal, and we source it. Can you put your phone on the table? Can you pass it to the?
Thank you.
So we tackle this issue of Yayin Esav and the leniency of Yayin Rishon with three Rishonim. The Rosh says, quote, Yayin Rishon he milsa v'lo shichah v'lo gazel v'chachumah. Yayin Rishon is a complicated matter. By us, we understand turning on a stove is very simple for us, having a flame in medieval era or a little earlier, this was a matter of collecting wood. Nobody was busy with this. If you needed to cook or use heating wood, you used it for other than cooking up wine. So it's milsad lashir, according to Drash, I have no problem with you drinking yayin mevishal. The Rambam, he says that since the whole thing is exciting, gozi astam yayinim shim chasnes, gozi, it's exciting, unexcited to have yayin mevishal on yayin nesach, the Rambam allows it as well, not a problem. The Rashba has a very interesting take. He says, quote, the yain mevishal aina tama yain v'loy mikri yainim stam. Yain mevishal does not taste like wine. It's not wine. It's wine perhaps for particular purposes, but in the sense of it being wine that goyim drink, it doesn't taste like wine. So he's out, complete. Don't worry about it. Pil Weinberger, Shlita, Avdak, Sederheli, he's a big poisek, so he said that he goes a step ahead. In today's day and age, he says, any maven, Shekol Maivin, B'tam Yayin, Makhe Hachilik, Shvain Yayin, Yayin Mevishal. Anybody who's a Maven can drink wine and can tell you in a second if this is Yayin Stam, or Yayin Plain, or Yayin Mevishal. And therefore, it separates the two. This is not going to bring to it. What about beer? Let's talk about beer for a minute. How do we tackle beer? Beer is an alcoholic beverage. And can we drink this with the goy? Does this also bring on the same issue with Mishum Chatzins? So the Rashbam in Teres Habayis Se'urich Va'akutza writes the following. Shaycha shel goy ayna usa ela dafke bebaisai. It says, beer you can buy, up until recently we were able to buy beer without a heksher. Today I think they have beer with a heksher, but beer never was a kfuda to buy with a heksher unless it's flavored, unless they add something in. But beer is a general rule. Those that understand the beer making process, it is so complicated in cleanliness that the smallest dust that gets in will ruin a vat of beer. So there's always a leniency throughout Chachum, throughout the generations of beer. We're allowed to, again, not the flavored today. There's a lot of flavored beers. Please be careful. However, the Rash quotes the following. The goy is not focused on assimilating, on marriage with his daughter when you're drinking beer. It's different than wine. So according to the Rashi, it's evident that beer does not have the same social aspect that wine possesses. Wine possesses a particular social aspect. Now, whiskey, spirits, have no mention in the Rishonim whatsoever until very early Achronim. As a matter of fact, the first time it's mentioned, whiskeys are in the Taz. But before I quote the Taz, I just want to show, I brought a little something just to show everybody what this is, what distilling is. Now, obviously, I'm not going to distill. First of all, it takes a long time to distill. It's very dangerous to distill. And quite frankly, it's illegal. So I'm just going to show you. Are there good boys in this room? This is how distilling works. Point it out here to anybody. Okay. This is the same unit you'll find in Tennessee, in Scotland, in England, anywhere where they distill spirits. Okay, we'll get to the different kinds of spirits in a moment. But this is a copper still. The reason they use copper is because copper has a magnetic, metallic koi chamoshech, where it'll pull out sulfurs. In the East, yeasts have sulfurs, and all alcoholic beverages have yeast. We introduce yeast to all alcoholic beverages, and therefore this will pull out the sulfur, therefore giving it a smoother flavor. So all distillers will prefer copper. Now this is a functioning distiller. What you do is you'd fill this with wine or any other beer or any other solution, any other alcohol solution. The steam would be let out of into this very narrow tube distiller. This is a condenser where you fill this with water. It has an intake for cold water and constantly has to be full of cold water. The steam turns back into condensation of liquid, and you collect that liquid. That's whiskey. That would be vodka. That would be gin. Now, the science behind it is very simple. Alcohol will steam up at 172 degrees. Release of alcohol will take place. Water is boiling point is 212. So if you can keep, that's why there's always a thermometer, and any still has a thermometer. If you can maintain a heat between 172 degrees and 212, you will have good spirit. Now, that's the general process. This is how it's made all over the world. Interesting to note that there's a sefer I found. It's called Sefer Tzvi Tefuru from the Riddik Ruf Schan Ruch, and he writes the following. He says, "When was this all developed?" So he says that this all came about in the times that the Klal Yisrael migrated to Poland. There was a time of panus issues. So he's quote, I'm going to quote what he says, it's because it's surprising. He says, Nufel piske, a kvitl, a note fell down from Shemayim. Nishem haich lahaich in yayin sudaf. It said the details of how to prepare whiskey. Ki at kif ezi lahoi yediye klal. Until this time, nobody ever knew about this. Ivoi mashkezei. It also is documented on that note. Until that time, until Bias Goyal, Yidin will have panusa from the production of whiskey, of Yayin Suduf. Very interesting. Who owns Seagram's? Oh, I just checked.
Right. We've made alcohol here in the basement, so...
Wine, I hope wine.
Beer.
Oh, beer is good. Right. And the first time, actually, it is found. The first
time.
Don't
kill anyone.
Yeah. The first time that we do find, we mentioned in Achroinim, on whiskey, is in a Taz. The Taz quotes a very interesting conversation in Hilchot Tisha B'Av, Simon Tuf Tifnim Bais, that Erev Tisha B'Av, in the 9 days, although wine shouldn't be, we shouldn't drink wine, what about whiskey or beer? Says, even though Afa Pisha Ein Bo Simcha, don't do it. It's not the right thing to do. But there's no, he doesn't come straight out saying that there's an Issa. So let's wrap things up just a little bit here. The Rashba clearly makes a dichotomy between wine and other alcoholic beverages. Now, the word brandy, we always hear Azaydas talk about Bronfen. Right? Bronfen, I'm sure, right? Bronfen. Bronfen is a derivative, the word, of brandy. Brandy was a Dutch word in the 1600s, where they would cook up wine, and it stands for burnt wine. Burnt wine would be collected, and they would call it brandy, brandwein, bronfen. That's the sequence of wording. That's where bronfen comes from. Any other word you're going to find, rum, take for instance rum, comes from the Latin saccharum, comes from sugar, saccharum. The rums are made out of sugar canes. They abbreviated the end word, but it's rum. Whiskey. Whiskey also has a makor. Whiskey is the Gaelic word for uskibe. U meaning water. Skibe is meaning life. What they call water of life. And whiskey bay, whiskey, that's where we get whiskey from. Gin, the word gin, has a macaw, and it's a French word. It's really, it started in French. It was made out of juniper berries, junivert. Junivert, gin. That's what happened. And bourbon, our all-time favorite. Bourbon is Bourbon County. Bourbon County, Kentucky, they put they have the best corn. They have the best limestone waters that run by, and they kind of cornered.
Brooklyn's taken over.
Yeah, Widow J. Not bad. Could they call it bourbon? There was a whole machloek of
Sapaska. Because it's
51%
corn. 51%
corn.
Then
but there was even Jack Daniels, you realize, call themselves whiskey. Tennessee whiskey. They can't call themselves bourbon.
Bourbon has to be mentioned.
has to be made in Kentucky. Now they're changing it. Now they have Colorado, and Texas.
Someone, we can call it bourbon.
Look how everybody gets excited with bourbon. I should have brought a bourbon. All right. Anyway, getting back to this a little bit, but we can make a cheshbon simple. We can deduce and reason the following: that according to the Rashba, that a guy, when he drinks with you, and he drinks beer or whiskey with you, he's not thinking or focusing, will it ever bring to assimilation, and therefore I don't have the gzaida of yainam shimchasis. A pragmatic take on the matter is, when somebody drinks bourbon or hard liquor, there's no doubt that he's drinking that, it's another shot, it'll stone him quickly. He's taking it to get high, drunk, whatever the case should be. And whereas wine, when you're drinking wine, there is a more of a relaxed social aspect to it and a discussion. Whenever winemakers or wine mavinim will get together, like we'll do soon, I'm sure you'll all realize that, you take apart every sip, you say, it has a more tannin, and it becomes a vibe, and this is just funny to watch. It has pineapple flavor, it has berry flavor, but the fact is everybody becomes a vibe, and there's a discussion, there's a social element to that. You don't have that with beer, you just say, I'll have another pinter, or I'll have another shot. So therefore, there is no doubt that you don't have that. You see, we see it ourselves. We don't have the social aspect of it. And quite frankly, let's see, if there are a few shots you're drinking with a goy, I don't think the next topic is going to be, would you like to marry my daughter? It should not work. But you see that there's a difference between that. Now, the next topic I want to talk about is Yain Kafrisin. We say it a few times in Ketores, we mention it very often. What is Yain Kafrisin? So there's a discussion in Rashi Tosfos in Krisis, Daf right in the beginning, it's got to be Daf Vov. Right, Daf Vov, Krisis, it's got to be Daf Vov. Tunabun, Krisis, I didn't mark it, but I think it's Daf Vov. Right, should be there, Krisis, some.
Ask the Vov.
So the conversation is, Rashi said two pshut, and Rashi is one that comes from Cyprus. The wine comes from Cyprus. Rashi also says another thing. No, it's very positive. It comes from leaves from Cyprus. Lilvai kafris, or lilvai something that's kafris. Now, Tosfos completely says no way. This is not wine. I could have wine easily obtainable from anywhere in the Middle East. In Eretz Yisrael has this prime wine country. So I don't have to travel by boat from Kafrisin to bring a particular wine to the Beis Mikdash. I can produce it here. But what is it? It's a wine from Eretz Yisrael, which they introduce a leaf called Kafris. And that Kafris has an agent within it that fortifies wine. It adds in more alcoholic strength to the wine. Now the purpose of that is because in hot climates wine does not hold. So you find that in Spain, for instance, I'll give you examples of fortified wine, sherry in Spain, Marsala in Sicily, Marsala wine, port from Portugal. These are all wines that are fortified wines where they introduce an alcoholic liquid or an alcoholic agent into the wine to raise it. Usually this raises the alcohol level anywhere from 18 to 22% of alcohol content. That's high, and that works as a preservative. You can't drink that much. There's a whole shal if this is eligible for kiddush, but that's a different topic. Nonetheless, we find that would be yain kafrisin. There's an interesting, just to show you the strengths of leaves, there are cheeses that are made. Most cheeses we know today, and cheeses are made with the whole shalom cheeses with aduva hamame that's made from a tamaya, behind a tamaya, rennet. Today there is actually a leaf that they discovered. It's called the stinging nettle. The stinging nettle is in the tea leaf family, and one can set this leaf into a milk, and it will set just the same coagulation factors as rennet will have. So you see that there are leaves that are out there that have a gewaldig curse. Besides the medicinal values, you're talking about something that has a strength that he has. So that would be Yain Kafrisin. Hangovers. Let's talk about hangovers. Now, hangovers, nobody here is familiar with hangovers, I'm sure. No, never happens.
You read about it.
You read about it, only from reading. See? So we find that Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, you find that Rabbi Yonah, Shusa Abbas, the Koysa, Lila Paisach, Paisach drank four Koysa wine, and his Vechuzik Rai Shalat said, he had a headache straight solid through till Shrius. I'd like to have what he was having. Nonetheless, you find that the headaches, there's cause to headaches. So let's talk about why there are headaches. There are many alcohols within wine. Many alcohols in wine that are present in any alcoholic beverage. The objective is, for instance, why one of the reasons distilling whiskeys are illegal is because there's a certain, as I mentioned, that distilling, the steam process, alcohol will start producing steam at 172 degrees. Those alcohols that come out at that number, until about 190, are pure poison. Pure poison. Poison enough that people that don't know will drink that first shot. They will die. It's that powerful. That's in the methanol family. They will kill people left and right. And people do die, especially in the...
Moonshiners,
they're big trouble. They could make trouble. They know how to do it later on, but the rookies don't. Russians have experimented with this. They go blind. There's nerve issues that develop, and the coma and death. So these are very important reasons that you have to get rid of. They're called, in moonshine talk, because moonshine was mentioned, they're called foreheads. That's what they're called, because there's foreheads, heads, hearts, and tails. The hearts is what we're after. The hearts is what we drink, it's called, that's ethanol alcohol. That's the alcohol that we drink, that's what we prefer. But in wine, we don't separate these alcohols. So even though you drink a glass of wine, or I'm not gonna say a glass, I'll say if you drink a bottle of wine, there's enough within that wine, there's acetone in that wine. There's enough, that little drop of acetone that will give you a hangover. Whereas with whiskeys, acetones are not present. You generally will not get a hangover from whiskeys, whereas you will get a hangover from particular wines.
What do you seem to argue?
He's a maven.
Yeah. Now I'm not saying drunk. I'm not saying stoned. You'll get stoned, but
all wines.
All alcohol has. So there's methanol, which is if you ever look at the back of Listerine. I'm not any one of those. They have methanol.
Is that poison?
That's poison. It's poison. The quantities that they have in product that's available off the shelf is minuscule. But in that minimum amount found in higher presence is a killer. So isopropyl alcohol, the rubbing alcohol, is also present in wine. Again, with very small amounts. But they're all there. Now, this is an interesting conversation I'll have with you now. This I shared with my friend and partner, Yanky Drew, who's a good friend of ours, and we're going to be sharing some wine with you. He's not only a maven in wine, but he's also a yadin in various other aspects, and we'll talk about that. So this we had this discussion. There is a wine, there's a vine, let's call it, a family of wine grapes that very native to us in New York State. The Niagara grape, Concord grapes. Most sweet wines that we have here, the Toca, the Malaga, the Red Concord, that family of grapes is made from the New York State Niagara grape. All right, most of us don't know about it, yeah, it seems.
Not in a while, at least.
It's my favorite wine.
But anyway, those wines.
He's our Toca and Malaga drinker.
They do exist, and people do drink them, and especially Purim. That's what's out there. If you go to people in the houses, that's what they'll generally serve, and that's what Bucharim are exposed to. Now, that's that line of grape is called Vitis labrusca. That's the name of the family of grape, and they're all from the same. The whites, the reds, they're all the same. Now, that particular one has a very high. If you've ever smelled it, it has like a very sweet, a pungent smell. If you buy Concord grapes. They're not in season, but when they are in season, you buy Concord grapes. It has a particular pungent smell. That smell is methanol anthralate. It sounds worse than it is. That particular grape in high content is poison, pure poison.
It's poison.
It's poison. They use it. They use it for when they want to get rid of birds. They'll use that in high concentration. Now that's enough. When somebody consumes one or two or three glasses of that, it's enough to trigger the body's reaction to make a person vomit and get rid of it. Not because this person is sick, because he's just as drunk as the guy next to him who drank three bottles of Cabernet. It's just the sick factor is because those are triggers in the body where the body says, get rid of this. It's enough, not enough to kill him, but it's enough to trigger that. So let me, I'm just going to finish up because it's getting late. I don't want to hold anybody up here. Let's do this. A quick overview of Yayin Chai, Yayin Gita, Yayin Muzif. Very quickly. Within 10 days of introducing yeast to a vat of wine, you will have what we call, what's known in Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara as Yayin Migita. It tastes awful. We have a sample. We're going to introduce a sample. It tastes awful, meaning
it's not
one of these. No. This was one. This is before. This has to.
Wow.
It would be good if everybody. Just to give you an idea, is that even this is wine Yayin Migita. It even smells funny. This has to go in a barrel, and it matures in the barrel properly,
and then it tastes it.
So it is alcoholic. It's alcoholic already. The alcohol transition took place. It's very high in CO2, and there's a mission about this. So it's the halacha is you're allowed to make kiddush on it, but it tastes horrible. It's not ready yet. It's not ready to be drunk yet. Now, the Mishnah says in Masechta Sovos that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says, "Haloimed menaketanim l'mod uvedoyma." Right? So haloimed menaketanim l'mod uvedoyma. So yeah. So he said, "Shoyes yayim gitoy." So what's the issue with shoyes yayim gitoy? So the Batan Ura says that it's like chachmas yeled. It's chachman, but it's... I'm in trouble. But what happens is, it has full of svaikas. In other words, when you learn from a child, he may have chachmanic things to say, but it's full of svaikas, and you have to be able to separate that. And the Tosfos Yontif has a practical thing. It says, shtiyus yayin ma'agas is good while you drink it. Yitiv loy b'shas shtiyusa. However, when you drink a lot of it, when you drink a lot of it, you will have aches. So don't do it. It's gas, it's too sugary. There's too many complexities to it.
Who's the cover?
Yayin Chai.
Oh, yes.
It also has the yeast there.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Now, this is the same thing as Yayin Megito. Now, let me show you. This is water. Yankee put the water in here just to give you an idea. This on the bottom is the yeast. Now this yeast is what you're drinking. Enjoy. this yeast is within that mixture. But look how powerful the yeast is. That just about an hour ago, water was filled into it, and look how strong that color will be given. And that's what you drink. So ultimately, when you when it goes through the process of Yayin Migita, and when it's purified. When it's purified, it no longer has these bad elements within it, and that's when wine tastes perfected. And that's what we call Yayin. That's what we call Yayin Chai. The next step is called Yayin Chai. Yayin Chai is what we call, what we use as corked bottled wines.
What changes?
What changes is just sitting in the barrel. Sitting in the barrel.
So you put in a metal thing or a glass thing, it will not change.
It will change. It'll take longer to change.
What changes?
It changes just by sitting. The virtual.
What
sitting.
Changes?
The CO2 leaves.
That doesn't come with the barrel.
That'll
happen.
No.
That has nothing with the barrel.
The barrel will enhance it. The wood and the barrel interact.
How does it get rid of the CO2?
The wood and has hold. The wood is coarse.
CO2 is a gas.
And that's right. And CO2 will pass through the...
The air is the most common way for it to get out. Why would it get out better from wood?
Because it will. Because air passes through the wood. Not only that...
More air is on top of the barrel.
And it will keep going out.
Yeah, I know. So the air that passes through the wood is a lot less than the air that's on top of the barrel.
But it'll seep out. As a matter of fact, wine gets lost at 2% in barrel per year. 2% of wine liquid also evaporates.
I understand. Yeah, it makes sense.
That's what happens. So this, there's no air that comes in. Air is not some that
goes out. Oh, air goes out.
Yes, it must go out.
So the whole wine is that thing. It's by sitting.
The process of sitting, yes. That's what matures. It goes through different acid, different malolactate transitions, different acidic changes, warm, cold, until it's perfected. Some wine producers will maintain 24 months in a barrel. That'll mature, that'll refine it perfectly. Some will change barrels every few months to give it that strong flavor. So there's a various, that's where the winemakers, they keep tasting it. It's called racking.
At what point would you add the yeast to it?
Right in the beginning. As soon as you press it. So Yain Muzik, and then I'm finished with just a little demonstration. Yain Muzik is simply Chazal's interpretation of how much water can I add that it still should be considered wine and kosher for Kiddush and kosher for Hagufen. And the reason is simple. That was the only drink. Water was scarce. Water was, you had to draw water. Water was not safe. Wine was always kept safe. It was always filtered. You always knew what you're doing. So your preferable drink was wine. But you didn't want to go around buzz the whole day. So you added an amount of water. So Chachomim said, you know what? Up to 2/3 water won't give you that cuckoo and won't make you enough to, it'll make you enough to have Hagofen. Just one more point, and then I think, yeah, that's it. So, the geology, geography, and era. I just want to quote a very interesting topic. Wine to vinegar transformation. Wine, when does wine become vinegar, and when does it change? Now, that has halachic ramifications. Very simply spoken, vinegar doesn't have habrucha. Officially, vinegar, you cannot make a brucha. You find that in Masechtas Bruchas, you find it quoted very often, too often, because it's something that's mazik. So, but if you mix vinegar with water, that already takes on a flavor. So does that take on a hagufan flavor, or does that take on a shach? So this is a concept, machloikas and possible, but there is a conversation about it. There also is the issue of between yayin nesach. At what point does the issa of yayin nesach or yayin stam fall away because it's vinegar? Maybe balsamic vinegar should be okay, because it's no longer wine. You might have a new from it. So there's a very interesting quote that Shonen mentioned. It says, Yerdayasim Kivchov Gimel, says the following, Chaymetz Shemev Avaya, vinegar that bubbles, Keshemashlich Noisa Halo Uretz, when you pour it on the floor, Aina Nese B'magagoy, it no longer maintains its value. Does anybody here, can anybody tell me, this is like, if you spill vinegar on the floor, then, and if it bubbles, then it's no longer wine. It's a complicated matter. What is this?
Wine itself also bubbles.
Pardon?
Very acidic.
Very acidic. But yes, that's an answer. That is an answer. But why? Where does this work out? So, like every Jewish fellow from Borough Park, I brought a piece of limestone. I carry that along with me. Limestone. This is the Bais Yosef quoting. Now, where the Bais Yosef lived, he lived in the Mediterranean basin.
Which porch did you break it off?
It's rules.
It's his old house.
So the Mediterranean basin is filled with limestone. It also happens to be the Mediterranean basin from France down till the other side of Spain and down to Morocco is also happens to be wine country. The whole area, Greece, they all wine, olives, is the Zelbazach. Now they had limestone. Now the Shach who lived in Kruka in Poland, he writes a perish on this Sif Kut. He writes Hanukkah Shemasriach. This means Mevavai means when it bubbles. Aval Kol She'ayne Mevavaya, Ayne Bekiyanim Chaymetz Olav. We don't know. He leaves it with a question mark. We don't know. So he kind of takes the approach, keep away. We don't know. The Rashba and the Rabban Yeruchim and the Mordecha, who all, by the way, lived in the Mediterranean basin between Barcelona and between the Provence, they all lived in the Mediterranean basin. They were all exposed to limestone floor. Now, also, every Bava Chust walks around with a bottle of vinegar. So this is standard edition vinegar. Now, what happens is, when you pour vinegar on limestone, it will bubble.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So, just to make things a little more exciting. That's okay. So believe it's fine. Let me explain what it bothered me, because still, why is that happening? So you look up. There's an interesting conversation just to finish up, that the University of Lodz did a study on the soils of Poland. So their study produced that 25% of their soil is made out of silt and clay, and approximately only 1% is substrate, is limestone substrate. So it's not enough for the Shach to have seen, perhaps, theoretically, or the people that the Shach was affiliated with. Maybe the Shach did know, but he didn't want people to paskin haluch like that. So that if you pour in Poland on a substrate, you will not see the difference, whereas in other places in the world you will. Now, the active ingredient in limestone is found in Tums. And that's sodium carbonate. Bicarbonate is also, but not in Tums. So if you take, it's a calcium carbonate, regular calcium carbonate, sodium carbonate. Yep.
Calcium.
Same active ingredient. They use different forms for antacids. Actually, antacids. No, Alka-Seltzer actually is sodium bicarbonate. That will work just because it's carbon. With any water. With water, not with vinegar. Here's with vinegar, and you'll see.
If you work with vinegar, too.
It's much more violent.
Sure.
Drink powder.
Sure.
That's with the powder.
Anybody want to try? It's actually good.
After the wine, we'll drink it.
So having said that, that's the conclusion of my shiur. And I hope you enjoyed it. And we shall be zeichet to al kos yayim mulek v'yekos Hashem.
Okay.
You make him warm.